Welcome to Bed Crime Stories Podcast. I'm your host, T. Hi, guys. Hope you're having a wonderful day. If you're new here, a warm welcome. Thank you for checking out my channel. All I ask is that after listening to and or watching the video, if you find you enjoyed it or learned something, smash that like button and consider subscribing. Now, let's dig in. Okay, guys, you're getting two cases for the price of one today. I'm going to give you some info on the Madeline Soto case and a little update on the Doomsday Prophet, Chad Daybell case. All right, we'll start with Madeline Soto. A woman called into another YouTube channel and she claimed to have briefly dated accused essayer Stephen Stearns back in 2011 in Windermere, Florida. The relationship only lasted about 3 months. Now, this lady was not officially verified. However, the details she shared match much of what we know about Stephen Stearns and his parents. This woman said she met Stephen through a mutual friend. And the reason, that's my cat Remy, I'm sorry, it's been one of those days. The reason this lady gave for the breakup was that Stephen was creepy and gave her weird vibes, particularly when it came to intimacy. Stearns, per the woman, wanted her to act like a child. He wanted her to call him daddy. He would say, "Is daddy hurting you?" and "Be quiet so you don't wake your mother," and "Be daddy's good girl. Are you vomiting yet?" At the time, this lady had 3 young kids, and because of all of that, this stuff really turned her off. The lady said that Stearns was very rough with her when it came to intimacy. She was 26 at the time, and she said, "Whatever went down with Stearns was very painful, if you know what I mean." This is why the lady called the relationship off. She also described Stephen's family as being sketchy people. Stephen's mother, Debbie, came across as particularly weird. The woman had dinner one time with Stephen, Debbie, and another friend named Kevin at a restaurant. Debbie allegedly handed Kevin an envelope and said, "Now keep your mouth shut." Kevin was Stephen's roommate at the time, and Stephen was apparently dating an underage girl at the time. Allegedly. Then, 2 days after the dinner out, Kevin moved out of the apartment he shared with Stephen, and Stephen only spent 1 more week there. He asked the woman if he could move in with her, and she was like, "That's not going to happen." Stephen then went to live with his parents, and this woman went there one time, and she said that in his bedroom, Stephen had David Bowie posters all over the wall. I love me some David Bowie, so I'm not going to judge anything based on that. The lady continued seeing Stephen, and once again, when they became intimate, he went right back into that whole weird call me daddy mode. She said that Stephen was working as a delivery person at the time. As for his personality, she said he was a good guy, was respectful, kind and sweet, and would open the door for her. He dressed well. It was just his thing for little kids and his roughness that made her end the relationship. The woman said she moved to Texas, and it was because of Stephen's mother, Debbie, whom she found terrifying. A month after the breakup, one of the lady's co-workers started dating Stephen. And one day, the co-worker asked the lady if she dated Stephen, and did he ask her to act like a little girl. It turned out Stephen did the same thing to the coworker. But what was perhaps even worse, Stephen allegedly gave this other lady an STD. If this story is true, it's frightening to think of Stephen Stearns being rough with Madeline and also potentially giving her an STD. It also makes me wonder if Madeline mentioned a rash or something to Stearns, and if she threatened to tell her mom or a doctor. Could that have been a motive for harming Madeline, for getting rid of her? The first lady with the kids also described Stephen as being really enchanted with little girls, and apparently he said that he really wanted to meet her little ones. He also expressed wanting to have a little girl. Yeah, I bet he did want a little girl of his own. At the time, Stefan apparently was driving a Kia Sonata. That was pretty nice. The lady said Stefan would never leave her alone with his roommate and was really paranoid one time when she was alone with the roommate for a little while. The lady thought that maybe the roommate was going to tattle to her about Stefan's behavior with underage girls, and that's why he didn't want her talking to the roommate. The lady said that at Stefan's parents' house, there were poodles running around all over. And she also said that she felt that Jen Soto must have known about the essay of her daughter, and that perhaps Debbie Stearns had allegedly scared Jen Soto into silence. Okay, so that wraps up what I had for the Madeline Soto case. Moving on to Chad Daybell. 55-year-old Doomsday author Chad Daybell is about to go to trial in Ada County, Idaho, and his trial begins April 1st. The trial will be televised on YouTube, and court officials are saying it will be a longer trial than the one that Lori Vallow Daybell had. So this time we get to watch the trial. Because Chad would receive the death penalty, jury selection is expected to take much longer than it did with Lori Vallow Daybell's trial. And if Chad is found guilty, the jury will have to be sequestered as they decide Chad's fate. Chad is facing first-degree murder charges for the deaths of his wife, Tammy Daybell, and for the deaths of Lori's two children, Tylee Ryan and J.J. Vallow. He's also facing two counts of insurance fraud for cashing in on his murdered wife's life insurance, and one count of grand theft. There are also conspiracy to commit murder charges for Tylee and JJ. Tammy Daybell died from asphyxia in October of 2019, and she had bruises on her arms and her chest. Utah's chief medical examiner, Dr. Eric Christensen, said that the bruises likely occurred around the time Tammy died and were consistent with someone being restrained. It's so upsetting to learn this because it implies Tammy Daybell was awake when this happened and may have seen the face or faces of those who cut off her ability to breathe. I think having someone attack you in your bed as you're sleeping, especially when it's your spouse and possibly a stranger, that's the ultimate in betrayal. It reminds me so much of the Shanann Watts case. Her husband also took her life. Many believe that Chad Daybell had help with the crime in the form of Lori's brother, Alex Cox. Alex is believed to have tried to do Tammy Daybell in 10 days before her actual death. That's when Tammy was getting out of her car in her driveway, and she found herself shot at by a man wearing a ski mask. Tammy mistakenly thought the man was holding a paintball gun. In reality, it was the real deal, and Alex had shopped for ammunition in Idaho Falls and had even practiced firing with a weapon at a shooting range in Fremont County, Idaho. Practice for Alex Cox did not make perfect. Alex's cell phone data showed that he was in the area of the Daybell home on the night Tammy died. Can you imagine her waking up to her evil husband and this stranger? Now, Chad was arrested on June 9th of 2020 after the remains of Tylee Ryan and J.J. Vallow were found buried on his property. This is just one of the reasons I call him Chad Dumbbell. Chad tried to flee once he saw the investigators had located his sick buried treasure. So for the past few years, Chad's been hanging out in a jail cell preparing for his trial. His children, Garth, Emma, Seth, Leah, and Mark, were, at least back in 2021, supportive of him. Some of the kids believe he was framed. They don't think he'd be dumb-dumb Daybell enough to put the bodies in their backyard, but the kids haven't been vocal since 2021. It will be interesting to see if any of them show up for his trial. They are definitely in a painful position. Their mother is dead. Their father is charged with her death and behind bars, and of course, they're going to want to cling to the one remaining parent. It is believed that Chad's trial will last 8 to 10 weeks. Everyone's wondering if Chad will point the finger at his wife, Lori Vallow, and at her deceased brother, Alex Cox. They call this the empty chair defense, apparently, where someone who's deceased, like Alex, is accused of doing the victim in. Blame it on the dead guy. And Lori Vallow has already been found guilty for her role in her two children's deaths. That's all for today. I'll see you next time on Bed Crime Stories. Hey, let me know in the comments what cases you are most interested in right now.